You're tuned in to the Social Media Church Podcast, conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 79, and my name is DJ Chuang, coming to you from Orange County, California, where it is almost always sunny and 70. Actually, today was kind of overcast, cloudy, so there are exceptions to the stereotypical nice weather here. And one of the things I like to do is spontaneous and random things. Now, I realize that for many leaders, those that go by the textbook, they love to have things under control and managed and planned. I mean, after all, you don't want things out of control, right? But for me, I like to do spontaneous things, and randomly came across a blog of a church consultant titled Confession of a Church Consultant, and it is written by Jed Davis, and he also offers a free ebook titled The Social Media Guide for Churches, What You Need to Know and Why You Need to Know It. So even though he's a church consultant, he's not a social media consultant. I'll let him tell you what he does. And we recorded this conversation a little bit over a month ago, and so that was the middle of winter up there in Chicago where he lives, so it is rather cold, and it is still cold. I just checked weather.com, and it is in the low 30s there. So I hope you're in a warmer climate, or at least warmer where you are listening to this. And let me switch tracks, let you listen to my conversation with Jed Davis. Put your hands together and welcome, Jed Davis. Hey, DJ Chuang here on the Social Media Church Podcast. Today I'm joined with Jed Davis in cold Chicago, Illinois. It is cold, right?
It's about 5 degrees. So.
Oh my, that is cold.
Monday's a high of -3, so it gets worse.
Well, you're bundled up, and we're here to talk about church and social media. Thanks for being so active in working with churches, both as a layperson and now professionally with Aspen Group. So tell us, our listeners, what you do at Aspen Groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Aspen is a company that designs and builds churches kind of throughout the Midwest, and really just specializing in aligning the church's DNA and ministry and culture and leadership, then aligning that with the facility to give them a tool to just take the gospel to their local contextual community. So as a client, you know, a little bit of history, as a client about 8 years ago and fell in love with the company and spent the next 5 years knocking at their door, and then God opened that up. So it's a role that allows my head and heart to just collide on a daily basis, my heart for ministry and then the knowledge in my head. And it's an absolute blessing and a blast.
That's great. So you work a lot with the tangible and the physical part of church, with buildings and equipment and talking with people face to face and get a sense of their culture. So how does technology play into that?
You know, it plays a huge role, and it is playing a huger role really exponentially by the week almost. I mean, if you look at just 5 or 6 years, or maybe I guess it was 7 years ago, there wasn't even an iPhone. So that iPhone just catapulted a whole new revolution of technology in the church. So now when we're designing spaces, you know, a lot of times we used to think, Andy Stanley kind of coined the phrase of from the parking lot to the sanctuary, kind of what is that overall experience? Now we're really almost reverse engineering that of what is your experience leaving the sanctuary? You know, you've just been impacted by an amazing message. Life change is happening and you are motivated to action. So how are we capturing that even in the lobby, interacting with, you know, using just tools like an iPad to capture people to sign up and take action right after that message? And how do those community action centers look like in the lobby? So it's playing a really significant role, not just in your typical AVL in a sanctuary, but man, from classrooms to lobbies, you name it, it's there.
Wow, that's a very thoughtful insight, that people are leaving the church but still wanting to engage and follow up. And that's a great segue to social media. And so you blog at thisjed.com, and you're a church consultant, so you work with a lot of church leaders. And you put together this ebook called Social Media Guide for Churches. So what inspired you to do that, and what do you share with your readers?
Yeah, you know, we meeting with pastors of all different church sizes, from 100-person congregation upwards to a 10,000-person church, and everything in between, from urban to rural, you name the denomination, they really struggle. A lot of them will struggle. The church historically has struggled with keeping up with culture, just with the ever-changing. The gospel never changes, but the context that you're delivering it in is rapidly changing. So that whole social media element can often just be very intimidating, kind of scary. Where do we start? Once we do start, where in the world? What do we do with it? So I just saw those questions pop up time and time again. So I really just wanted to put together a very practical ebook that people could read, give them just the runway to take off and launch kind of the social media ministry of their church in just very practical steps and the kind of down-to-earth applications. So it was really the core of the reasoning why I wrote that book.
Yeah, and you offer it for free for people that will subscribe to your blog?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, I'll add a link in the show notes so that people can go over there to thisjed.com and grab a copy. And how many pages of this? I know it's digital, but...
Yeah, it's digital, so you can open it up, and it's just a PDF. You can open it up in iBooks or whatever, but 27 pages. Kind of the front end is all the different... Well, first, we kind of lay the groundwork as to why. Why in the world should you even care about social media? Why is it relevant for today? And then we lay the groundwork of what are the platforms out there, from the Facebook to the Pinterest and Twitter, YouTube, all of that. And then we get into just some practical tools to really help people use social media to then ramp it up to their day-to-day lives. And even go through some schedules and even go through a little bit of a glimpse into what if we could hire somebody to do it for us. But really it's not the core target of that ebook. The core target are those really just wanting to get their feet wet and start out in this world of social media.
Wow, you crammed a lot in 27 pages. I mean, you mentioned there strategy is. And why and schedule. I'm like, wow, I got to read this more closely. I mean, I downloaded it, but I haven't skimmed through it yet.
Yeah. No, there's a lot in there. It's a lot of good practical stuff.
Now, do you think you'll have a follow-up group or a course or a conference and all that stuff?
You know, we'll see where it goes. So things always take a life of their own and take you places you never anticipated. So one day at a time.
Okay. So describe how you use social media personally and then how your company uses social media.
Yeah. You know, I use social media to just really develop relationships. You know, that's the one thing that hasn't changed about the gospel. Jesus was a great example of that, but just through relationships, you will impact people's lives. You will speak into their heart. Today, the way that people connect a lot is, you know, the world in the pocket of their iPhone or their Android or whatever. So, man, the church needs to be present in those conversations. I need to be present in those conversations. It's making the world that used to be so small or so large, but even looked at as small back in the 80s, 70s, and 60s, and it has taken that and shrunk it tremendously, from connecting with people like you and people all around the globe. You know, even through my blog, I chat with a pastor all the way in Ethiopia, and we bounce ideas off each other through Twitter and other things. Where five years ago, that just wasn't even a reality. So really, I just use it to develop those relationships. And the way that our company uses it, I think would be a lot of the same intent that the church uses it, is that you have to develop trust to gain the right to speak into people's lives. And the only way to develop that trust is to be present. So if you're not present in their daily world, which is Facebook, Twitter, and other social media avenues, if you're not present in that world, that trust will never be developed, and you'll be looked at more of a purveyor of kind of pushing content on people instead of wanting to share content together, to develop story together and to do life together. So I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but I use a bunch of different platforms. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So what are the main platforms that you focus your time and energy on?
Yeah. You know, I'm primarily on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well, but then I have found to be a lot more friend centric. So it's a lot more really close knit friends and family exchanging pictures of, you know, my son and all that kind of stuff. Where Twitter has really allowed me to influence larger communities and things that I'm very passionate about, really ministry and church facilities and social media. Twitter has really opened up those avenues. So those are the two primary ones. And then there's a bunch of other little footprints I have, like on Pinterest or YouTube, but they're fairly small in the overall picture.
Okay. And you touched on an element of using social media about sharing content together and building relationships of trust. So I want to tease that out a bit more, because as I engage with church leaders about social media, the majority of them tend to use social media as a means of distribution and broadcasting. And so they've just taken that model of broadcasting through TV and broadcasting through radio. Hey, and now they can broadcast through Facebook and Twitter and push more content out. And then the piece of social media that they try to engage is, okay, create really compelling content that they can push out and other people will push out. It sounds like you're doing more than that. So talk more about how you make it more of a dialogue and a sharing use of social media.
Yeah. I think there's a huge opportunity for the church using social media as that tool to engage with people. You know, it is so much more than a website. I think of a website as a great online personality, but really it's not. Social media isn't meant to be a monologue of me saying, hey, my service time is at 9 and 10:45 every day. It's really a dialogue with people. So when you Google things, you know, Google is like the all-knowledgeable guru for everything in life. So people are hitting Google for, I'm struggling with raising my teenage son. My marriage is falling apart. Please help. I'm struggling financially, whatever it may be, all these things. They're looking to Google for that in the privacy of their home. Man, and you look through those results, and you probably have to go pages and pages deep before you see the church popping up and speaking into those things. So, man, here's a tremendous opportunity for the church to invest resources into developing content that then those people Googling stuff could find, whether it is that you're publishing it through Twitter, through Facebook. You know, it's not just bloggers that could be writing ebooks. It really is staff members that could be writing ebooks of, hey, here's 10, you know, 10 strategies to help you parent through the teenage years. But then ground it back into scripture. Because, man, all those things they're Googling, scripture has a ton to say about that. But they're not finding it in the church. They're finding it through Google. So it's time for the church to influence Google and fill that black hole between Google and the gospel.
Ooh, that's a nice little saying.
But yeah.
The hole between Google and the gospel.
Yeah, there you go. Might be a title of my next ebook.
Yeah, we'll have to tweet that and see do a little campaign around it.
There you go.
Great. And then the last dimension is you're active in your own church. So how does your own church use social media?
Yeah. You know, they use it, I would say, primarily as a means, kind of what you hinted towards. And I love my church. My pastor is a total rock star. I love him to death and his heart for people.
Describe your church. Who's your pastor? What kind of church is it? How big?
It's Harvest Chapel in a small town called Sandwich, Illinois. Probably a church about 1,000 people on the weekends. So I love the example, because churches ask me all the time, how big can we grow in the population context that we have around us? And there really is no rule of thumb, because the church I attend violates all those rules. We should be a church of about 300, given the size of our community. So I mean, if you bring a relevant message that people can apply, not just from the pulpit, but then again through social media, I think you're going to attract people, because going back to Google, people are looking for those answers. So yeah, my pastor is Wes Bell, and my church is Harvest Chapel and Sandwich, but they use Twitter and Facebook and then just your traditional blog, but more of as a means to broadcast content And I really think the whole engagement and producing content to engage with people is kind of a new thing that even just culture is catching on in the secular world. So it's definitely a new thing for the church to grapple with. And I know that my own church is grappling with it as we speak.
Okay. Well, and you're definitely leading by example. I really appreciate the content that you've been posting on your blog. Very thoughtful and very practical. And I'm guessing that's helping people find the answers to the questions they're asking.
Yeah, you bet.
What's your top search phrase that comes to your site?
Oh, you know, I get a lot of kind of just strategies that are around church life. So one of a popular post is 10 apps for church leaders, 10 of the best apps for church leaders. 5 ways awesome note has improved my life. You know, so just very practical things that the church is, how to set up how to create a Facebook page and 5 easy steps for your church. Those kinds of things people are typing into Google and then I'm popping up somewhere down there and they kind of click through. So it's just a practical how to use the digital world to influence my church world.
Yeah, and I believe I found you because I was looking for something about social media and church.
Huh, yeah.
And you had the free ebook. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
That's a pretty new thing. It's only been up for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, it showed up pretty quick because I think it was timely. I think new content and timely content that has that momentum kind of bubbles it up on the rankings. I know one of the posts that I did like 5 or 7 years ago on why Santa wears red.
Hmm.
Still gets, you know, the Christmas traffic, but the rest of the year people aren't asking that question.
That's awesome. I'll Google that.
Yes. Awesome. Well, great connecting with you, Jed. Love what you're doing at Aspen Group and online through your blog at thisjed.com. And keep up the good work.
Yeah, same here, DJ. I appreciate it.
That was my quick conversation with Jed Davis from Chicago, Illinois. And the show notes are at socialmediachurch.net. And you'll find a link to connect with Jed on Twitter and on his blog. And you'll also want to get the free ebook, The Social Media Guide for Churches, What You Need to Know and Why You Need to Know It. And I just looked at my timeline, and it's actually a very short episode, a quick conversation with Jed Davis. And the ebook is written in the same short and quick fashion. Pages count is 26. So he is right to the point, kind of like the Gospel of Mark. Very short, very succinct, get right down to it. And he covers a lot of ground in just 26 pages. He talks about blogging, Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube. He talks about personnel, how to manage your schedule, and some of the popular tools that he uses to manage his content flow over social media. And it's a free ebook. You just put in your email at his website, and you can download it just like that. Well worth your small investment of an email address. I would love to hear from you about social media and how it's working for you, any questions you might have about social media, and where do you find the time to do it? How do you handle negative comments, and how do you listen to this podcast? Do you listen to it at your desk, on the go, or during your commute, or somewhere else? Let me know. You can tell me on the listener voicemail line here at Social Media Church. The number is 949-3-543-216. You can text in your short question if you'd like to do that. The number again, 949-3-543-216. Or you can use any social media channel that millions of people are using today, including Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, and you'll find the links to those channels at socialmediachurch.net. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with others, and if you're subscribed on iTunes, be sure to add a rating and a review. for this Social Media Church podcast. Your honest and candid feedback is very much appreciated. I wouldn't want any other kind. And that concludes this episode of the Social Media Church podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, signing off, and until next time, let's stay connected online.